If this decision is going to drive a wedge between me and my wife, it cannot be the will of God. Now, that doesn't mean that husband and wife see everything equally at the same time. We might have to pray and wait and say, Lord, will you change her mind? Or Lord, the wife may have to pray, Lord, will you give my husband patience that he may not rush into something that I can't fully grasp? There's going to be that to-ing and fro-ing, but there's a concern for each other. And that is how Christ acts. And that is how the church is to act. And husband and wife, that's how you're to act. Individualism is out. Out. If you understand the model of Christ and the church.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. Thank you for joining with us here today, and I trust the Lord will bless you through His own Word. We're turning to Ephesians 5 today, and the message is, Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Christian marriage, the Christian home, the Christian family is really the building block of what God is doing in the world. His purpose is to bring men and women to faith in the Lord Jesus and to live out that model of Christ and His church, which is displayed between husband and wife as they love one another, live with one another, and as they raise children together for the Lord. Today we're turning to Ephesians 5:14 for our Bible reading. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Well, let's end our reading there, and I pray that today that God will write His Word on your heart and that God will bless your home and your marriage. What a blessing to have a husband, wife that is in the Lord, and that we can walk together before God hand in hand with His blessing upon us. And I trust that this message today will lead you into a deeper, closer, and a more blessed marriage in your life. Thank you for joining with us. Stay tuned now for the message from the pulpit of our church here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale.
Well, through this month, we've been focusing on the Christian home. We started off with Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then message number two was on what is a Christian home, and we endeavor to try and deal in some practical terms of what really distinguishes a home where Christ dwells and where God's people are living in that home for the Lord. We came then to this chapter in Ephesians 5 to look at the call to be filled with the Spirit, and that we can't live the Christian life, whether in church or in the public or in our homes, unless we are men and women who know what it is to live in the Spirit, not after the flesh, but walking after the Spirit. Today we move on a little bit and we want to look at what it looks like to live as husband and wife. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if God had provided for us a model couple? A husband and a wife who live together in that perfect harmony and relationship as God intended. And then God said to us, just emulate them. Just run your marriage the way they do. Take note of how they talk. Take note of how they interact. Take note of how they make decisions. See how they walk together in sweet and wonderful harmony. Wouldn't that be great? It would make the whole subject so much easier. Well, you know what? God has given us a great model. And the model is between Christ and His church. Now, as you know, I am not one for preaching regulations. I do not want anyone to come to this meeting or any of these meetings on the Christian Home and go away with a whole long list of do's and don'ts, and they just shake their head, "I've tried it all before and nothing just works." And so we are going to look at that perfect model. Because the wonderful thing is that when God created Adam and Eve and brought them together as that first pair in the world, God's intention was that marriage between husband and wife would be an image, a mirror image, of that beautiful relationship between Christ and His church. Because the Lord had His church in mind even before creation. He set His love upon His people from all eternity. And when God made Adam and Eve, He made them as a picture of what redemption and what the church of the Lord Jesus would look like. Let's look at chapter 5, 32, Ephesians 5, 32. And here is this model, this picture that God gives. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This union. Now notice what the mystery is. You have to go back into verse 31, and that is that this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, they shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And the apostle calls this a mystery. And then he says, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So, if I interpret my Bible right, if I'm reading it right, I understand that we cannot know how to live as husbands and wives unless we study the image, the model that God has given of His church and of His Son, that bridegroom of the church. And this oneness, this mystery of oneness, is the glue, it is the secret, it is the very essence of, well, our redemption, of course. We are united to Christ. It's one of the great gospel doctrines. The believer, the Christian, as the bride, is united to the Lord Jesus. And marriage is a reflection. It is an image of that very union between Christ and the church. Now, to summarize, and I'm just trying to build up the model picture, I'm hoping that we get this firmly fixed in our minds, that this union between Christ and the church is redemptive. It is to bring the church out of bondage into blessing. It is a covenantal arrangement. It's not a throwaway disposal arrangement. It is a covenant between Christ and His church that is everlasting. We note in this passage that it is sacrificial. And of course, the apostle points out how Christ died for the church and loved her and gave Himself for her. And He bought her at a great price. For the bride, it is beneficial. The Lord Jesus is glorified in His bride, and the bride is presented one day right into glory. So you can say it's a win-win. It is glory to the Savior, and it is endless, infinite blessings to the bride, the church. Now, when we talk about raising or maintaining a Christian home, therefore, we must mean by the term Christian home a home that reflects that image of the Lord and His church. If your mind is not focused and fixed on the Lord and His church, if you've lost sight of that, can you call your home a Christian home? Can you say that you have a Christian marriage if you've lost sight of the model that God has raised up? The desire will be to establish a Christian home where that sweetness, that harmony, that union between Christ and His church is emulated. And it's automatic. It's a given. It's not something you have to be. I'm going to push you to do that. And I'm going to push you to do that. If we understand the Lord and His church and the roles and the blessings, and you understand husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church, and wives, you are to support, play that role of wife as the bride is to the church. Now, I said earlier, if I'm reading my Bible right, if I'm interpreting it right. So it's very important for me to be sure that you understand and you're convinced that I am reading my Bible right and that I'm interpreting it properly. And I want to take time on something here. I want us to look at a good number of as statements, or you could say like statements. And you can see that running through these verses that we read here in Ephesians 5 is this parallel, this constant comparing, that the earthly marriage between husband and wife should be like us, the union between Christ and His church. We must get that, and we must get it from our Bibles. And husband and wife, you must be able to talk about this together. And when something comes up in your home and in your marriage, you must be able to read this passage and say, well, look, remember what we're to be like. Remember how we're to respond to certain things. So let's do this now. We'll look at verse 22 firstly. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. There's an as statement. Then verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Then verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject. And you can see now, he is taking his cue, he is taking his model first, and he's saying, as it works there, we've got to do it here. As it applies to Christ in His church, it must apply now to husband and wife in our family relations. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And then verse 28, well, it's not an as, it's a so, but it's applicatory. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. And again, the comparison, the parallel, is how the Lord gave His body for the church. And verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And then verse 32, I speak. And here's the final punchline. Here's the final impression of the message. I speak concerning Christ and the church. That's the picture. That's the model. And so today we need to take those straightforward words, Christ and the church, as the model for marriage. And if we get the model firmly in our minds and our hearts, then we will have our marriages right. Then we will be doing the right things, and I trust in the right manner. And we will be led graciously and helped of the Lord as our burden, as husbands, that we are as Christ loved the church. And wives, that they are as the bride, blessed by their union unto the Lord. And so I take this cue from this oneness, Christ and the church. I want that. If I could placard that somehow, I should have a big poster, 5 foot by 5 foot, with the huge letters, Christ and the church. Let's get that in our minds. And this oneness between Christ and the church ought to control in our marriages. It will control the whole idea of individuality. I'm an individual. Now, let's go back here to verse 21. Verse 21. Here you'll see the attitude, the approach to the matter of individualism. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as Christ loved himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, young lady, and I suppose young man as well, contemplating marriage, I'm going to shock you. The moment that you get married, that you take a wife or a husband, you must stop thinking of only yourself. Individualism is given up the moment that you become a husband or a wife. You are no longer an individual. Once you get married, you can never again act alone. The immediate responsibility of the new husband and the new wife is to think, how will this impact upon my spouse, my wife or husband? What will it mean to him? What will it do to him? Now, verse 33 is the direct result of this marriage union. And it's because of that union between Christ and the church that Paul now says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular. Now, I'm thinking individualism. Every one of you in particular. That sounds like individualism. But you are to do it in such a way to so love his wife even as himself. Such is the union now, such is the bond and the mutual concern for one another, is that you will never again act alone. There is this mutual submission. Now, this all hinges, of course, on the truth of the gospel, that the Lord Jesus left heaven's glory and he came down into this world and was united to a human body. And when our Lord Jesus, in redemption plan, took a human body, he was never himself again. He was never just the second person of the Trinity. He was united to humanity. And with all the purpose of purchasing his church, he took the form of man that he may purchase a bride. And in that body, of course, he would redeem his church and suffer for her. And from that time on, Christ and his people are inseparable. This is one of the great wonders of the gospel. When God looks upon his Son, he sees the church. When God looks upon Christians or the church, he sees his Son. This is one of the great blessings of being a Christian. You're never again isolated. You're never again an individual. You're never again just a loner. You are now by faith, by grace, by the gospel, united to the Son of God. And to think as a Christian, you cannot think apart from him. Now, we've got to bring that into our marriage. We've got to bring it into our home. Once I become a husband, I can't think, act, do alone because I am united. I am mutually involved with, and I'm always concerned about my wife. That is now the Christian attitude in marriage. And so, right off, this picture, this model that we get, Christ and the church, it buries individualism. I, me, myself, alone. And anyone that's contemplating marriage must understand that and must be ready to live it in all the fullness and the blessing of the Lord. And so it's wrong to act alone. You can understand what terrible harm is done in marriage when one husband or wife begins to make decisions alone. The husband, just off the cuff, he leaves work and instead of going straight home, he drives to the pub. Or he goes off to some other place of recreation and friendship with the boys. And doesn't even think about his wife at home. He is therefore inconsiderate and thoughtless and doesn't realize that she will be, number one, concerned, and secondly, bitterly disappointed, that he would rather have the company after work of friends without her even knowing. Now, if it's prearranged and it's a rare occasion and it happens from time to time, well, that's somewhat different. But now this is a matter of new direction and a selfish attitude, just going his own way. And maybe something more seriously. Maybe over some trivial thing at work, blows his top at work, and he just fires himself out of the job, making a personal decision. I'm quitting. And then he goes home to tell his wife, I quit today. And of course, she's got 101 questions. How did that happen? Why did it happen? What are we going to do? How are you going to get another job? And it becomes now a very irresponsible thing. And likewise, when a wife makes decisions alone, and maybe money, it may be her employment, it may be her community outreach, it may be her activities elsewhere, it may be with family and friends, but she's off doing her own thing. And she is doing it at her own will and her own time frame, and inconsiderate again of her husband. You see, once you get married, the old single way of life comes to an end. Comes to an end. That's why the apostle insisted here that let a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So the control or the influence of previous family, it's over. This is now the formation of a new family. And they make and walk together, hand in hand, making the decisions of life together in oneness. Outside influences must be guarded against. And just as the church's role, and I'm drawing the comparison now, the church's role is to only do what will bring glory to Christ. If this church just suddenly does anything that the world does it become the true bride of Christ? Can we make any which decisions we like? Can we go any new direction we like? No. We are the bride of Christ. We are a church that are bound by what pleases and honors our Lord Jesus. Likewise, a wife and a husband, they will seek to do those things that honor and will please. And so I make this emphasis. Once you get married, there is no room for isolation. There's no room for I will do it my way, whatever you wish to do. And a marriage often goes off in a tangent in a new direction when husband and wife start making isolated decisions independently. And it can go from bad to worse very quickly. And so the number one question for husband and wife here today, this decision, will this decision strengthen my marriage? If the answer is no, you could be 99% sure it's not the will of God. If this decision is going to drive a wedge between me and my wife, it cannot be the will of God. Now, that doesn't mean that husband and wife see everything equally at the same time. We might have to pray and wait and say, Lord, will you change her mind? Or Lord, the wife may have to pray, Lord, will you give my husband patience that he may not rush into something that I can't fully grasp? There's going to be that to-ing and fro-ing, but there's a concern for each other. And that is how Christ acts. And that is how the church is to act. And husband and wife, that's how you're to act. Individualism is out, out. If you understand the model of Christ and the church.
Wonderful grace of Jesus. Really?
Thank you for joining in, and I hope, husbands, that you are living up to the standard of the biblical model. And men, I'm going to just ask you these questions here today. What is this oneness between husband and wife based on? I would have no right to call you to this oneness and this unifying power of your marriage unless there was a biblical model. And that model, of course, is Christ himself and his love, his union with his church. And everything that the Lord is doing in this world, he is doing with the interest of his wife, the church. Just think on that. All that's happening in the world today is for the benefit and the furtherance of the church. And we as husbands are called to love our wives as Christ loved the church. The other thing, men, that I want to ask you is, what is the problem of individualism? This thinking of ourselves and our own way. Really, it comes down to selfishness. There's no other way for me to put it. And much of the difficulties that arise within homes and marriages is due to selfishness. It comes down to, I want my way, and I will not give space for any other way. And that, of course, becomes a recipe for disaster. Now, the question, I pointed this out in the message, and I want to remind you of it here. And men, I'm going to address this again to you. I'm going to bring this to your attention. The question that you need to ask is, how will this impact on my spouse? Whatever the decision is, whatever the action you're taking, you must ask that question. And you must be considerate. You must take that into account. If you want to be a husband that is a blessing, that will have a wife who will follow your leadership, that ought to be always in your mind. How will this impact on my spouse? And so, there I leave you this advice on marriage.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.